observation when you do that. You remember the other day, Robert, we was talking about the something. Mount of Transfiguration, right? It's always good to get the comparative study. They don't contradict. They just give the full picture. And maybe why they need two witnesses or more on something, to get the full picture. But they complement one another. So you can be in, you can be turning your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9 and Mark 2, Luke 5, 9 to 5. 9 to 5. I think about words and things a good bit. I study words. If I could just learn how to use my words. I know my children, I guess it's Hannah's, she'll look at her kids and say, use your words, you know. And that's a good thing. And here's what we're doing. We're using the Word of God. This is the Word of God. It's using us. And we're using it. Father, help us as we talk for a little while and bring something that I think we need as you lead us. And I pray that you'll be honored and praised. Souls will be saved. We're looking for people to be saved. Everybody in this building, as far as I know, claims to know the Lord. And there's new people moving in, people buying property down the road here. And I just pray we can be a witness to them. And Lord, I pray we can see them. Addition to the church. You said, Father, I remember in Acts, you had Luke write, and the Lord added unto the church daily such as should be saved. But we have a human responsibility, and it's evidenced in these passages of scriptures. Lord, we give you glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in the family, in my family, mama named us Randy, Roger, Randy, and Ronald. When Hannah goes to the doctor, she carries all of her kids. Just in this instance, from what I understand, it was all her girls. And so they're in there, and there was a little bit of confusion because their names all start with H. And it's Hannah, the mama, Haley, Haslin, Haven, and Hadley. So they're saying, and she lets them do this. And I don't know. I mean, here's what she does, but and it's sort of funny, and it's sort of showing responsibility. So they'll have like Jeremy to go up when they go in the office. They'll have Jeremy, you know, Jeremy, wild child, and he'll just Hannah just go in the waiting room and start sitting down and send him up there and say, he says, Jeremy's here. You know, I'm here at my appointment. So she does all of her kids like that. And so they sort of know the doctor and everything. But they put the doctor under duress the other day because he's seeing every one of these H's. And they got them all confused. The nurse had said, Haley's in here, Haslin, and Haley's ha. And after they left, the doctor told the nurse, the reception, whoever, said, lock the door. I'm going to get a cup of coffee. Yes, I'm taking a break. But thank God. I don't want in on that. Hey, I come across a statement that is very apropos, very, very meaningful to me as a believer, and just about life in general, more especially being a Christian. There's a verse, the Lord says, the truth shall make you free. Okay, that's right. Living up and accepting the truth. And it starts with accepting the truth about me and God. You know, me and God, accepting what God says about me and accepting what I think about myself that might be a misnomer, because everybody's got a pretty high self-esteem to some degree. And then some people's got the reverse. They have no self-esteem, and there has to be a balance. There's got to be, I believe, because we are important, but on the other hand, we're not so important if we don't follow the Lord that He can't use somebody else to do what He wanted us to do. Does that make any sense to you? Here's the statement. A man's life, or lady, a person's life expands by how much truth he can stand. We can't have too much truth. And the more we expose ourselves to truth, and the more we can stand the truth. How can we not stand any more truth? How? It just seems like to me that truth ought to be flowing through us and in us and changing us and helping get God's work done in the lives of other people is to let the truth stand. Let all of it, and let our life expand. Man, there's just so much that when we stand before the Lord, Charlie told me something yesterday that Dale Butler shared with me. You know, we will stand before the Lord. And Robert, Dale told you and Charlie a story about a wounded soldier that was in the hospital. And we will stand before the Lord. And y'all done heard that, hadn't you? So he was talking to that wounded soldier laying in the bed. And he said, you know, that soldier said, I know one day I'll have to stand before the Lord. He said, we'll all stand before and give an account. And then he moved the sheet and both his legs was cut off. He said, I guess I ain't got to stand before the Lord. And he started laughing. You know, that's one way to accept your condition. I don't know if I could have had that. You know, that soldier's life is expanding because he has, and that's sad and funny too. It was funny to him. He started laughing. But he's accepting his condition in life. He's not trying to destroy other people's day by his condition. He's trying to help people. He's trying to help people. But a man's life expands by how much truth he can stand. So let's let God in with the truth today, and however it fits for us, let's accept it, and let's accept it with joy. Man, sometimes that's hard to do. We've been working on a message developing with me out of the Old Testament on happiness and joy and the word today is cheer. I don't know if you remember where we preached on moonshine and wine, and that didn't go over too good with some of my family. They call me and give me problems about that, but I don't care. Moonshine and wine, you remember? Corn for the young men, and that was moonshine, and wine for the ladies to make them cheer. Now that we use that in a spiritual way, and we won't go back to that text because now we're dealing with the New Testament with the same thought as this word is developed in our lives and in the messages from the Old Testament, the New Testament, the same connotation, the same thought. There's a story here, and we'll start in Mark. We'll start in Mark chapter 2. In Mark chapter 2, we're going to begin reading here. And we're going to read probably most of all three of these views of this story. In Mark chapter 2, in verse number 1, again he, that's Jesus, entered into Capernaum for some days. Capernaum was his headquarters. It was north of Galilee, it's north of the Sea of Galilee. It was not a well religious. It was like some of those mountainous areas were hideouts for criminals. But it was productive and lucrative communities there in Capernaum, and it was probably the house of Peter. He sort of centralized in a house in Peter's house. Can you imagine that? That's where he healed Peter's mother-in-law. If you remember, they had the fever. He healed the mother-in-law. And he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that it was in the house. In other words, Jesus is there. And you know, Randy Sullivan preached a great message on Jesus in the house. And you know, that's wonderful. Jesus ought to be, he's in our house, whether we realize or not, but he should be comfortable in our house. He should be invited. It should be a friendly place. It should be a clean place. It should be a prayerful place and a Christian place in our homes. And Jesus was there. Can you imagine what kind of effect it might have had? I don't know if Peter had any children. I'm assuming he did. He had a wife and a mother-in-law. And you know, and that's what you get married for, is to have kids and reproduce. And that's just biblical. That's the truth of the Bible. And straightway, many were gathered, and so much that there was no room to receive them. That's a crowd in the house. I used to have cottage prayer meetings in this community. When I first got saved, has anybody ever been to a cottage prayer meeting? You've been there, hadn't you? I remember Robert Patterson preaching at Melvin Hulsey's house. I remember that. The first time I preached was in where the old Jones Chapel Church was, down on the corner there, that was turned into a house, and my Aunt Lucille and Uncle Spud lived there. And I preached, the first time I preached was in that house in a cottage prayer meeting. Was anybody there? Chick, you was there. I don't know if anybody else was, but I was there. And I preached at least 10 seconds. Oh, the day. Oh, the memories. Could we go back to then? You remember that, Martha and Chick? Y'all remember that. Chick, I think Chick taped it. And the tape is on and off. And he come down there to the house. And I remember I walked in the house, and he was sitting with Daddy on the couch, and he was letting Daddy hear that message. I think it was that message. I don't know. And Chick, don't let anybody listen to that. They were gathered together so much that there was no room to receive them. No, not as about the door, so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. Jesus preached in the house, and it was full of people. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. Now, the sick of the palsy is paralytical type things. He was paralyzed. And what I've studied in this word, I used to think sick of the palsy had some kind of scabs on him or something. But I read that word a little closer, and it's a paralytic. He was paralyzed. This man was paralyzed, and he was born by four people. He don't say who they were. I'm assuming they're men. Four people, one on each corner of the bed. And they had some concern for that man. They had some concern. They might have been kinfolks. They might have just been good friends. And I don't even know if he asked them to bring them. Let me tell you, there's people out here, they're not going to ask you to bring them to church. You got to ask them to let you bring them to church. And so this whole message is not about evangelism, but it's the pre-words are a little bit, but they had to have some concern for him, and they brought him to where Jesus was. They brought him to the right place. They brought him to the right house where Jesus was. Now, they might have already been to a hospital before. How the condition of this man is untold, unknown, other than he was paralyzed, and he laid in a bed. That's all he could do. You can relate to that. God help. Bless your heart. That's all he could do. He had to have some help. And there's people out there that need some help. I mean, like I said, right down this road, they're moving in. They're moving in. They're selling property there. We got to find these new people. I mean, I'm not giving up on the olds, but there's more than just 100 people that need to come to church in this community. There's a lot of them, and we're going after them. God helping us. We're gonna, whether they come to this church or not, they're gonna hear about the Lord. And I appreciate the men that are taking their time to do that. And look, he preached the word, and they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. When they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let him down. They let the bed down wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Now, watch this. There were so many people there, they couldn't get him to Jesus. There were people that were concerned, listening to the preachers, listening to the preaching. But there were also critics there. There was the scribes, Pharisees, whatever, that were just there to criticize. And they were blocking the way for a man to get to Jesus. You know what's blocking the way for people to get to Jesus today? Religion. Religion's blocking the way. Religion's telling them, even if they want to get saved, they'll say, well, just get baptized. Or just come to church. Or just reform. Quit doing what you're doing. They're blocking the way. And if they're letting them in, they're letting them in the wrong way. They're letting them in with some kind of physical allurement to get people in the house of God. Now, I'm for fish fries. We're going to have one. Thanks to Ben and Jeffrey, we got a lot of fish on hand. But I'm going to tell you why. We don't try to get people saved just by bringing them to a fish fry or whatever else. Nobody brought me to a fish fry to get me saved. Something very mystical and spiritual happened to Roger Butler the week I got saved. I was convicted. And there's somebody out there that's under conviction that we can locate. We can locate. Now, I'm not going to exhaust you with all this. I'm just going to preach a wild stop, pick it up later. I like Brother Canoy helped me with this. He said a message is like a train. It's got cars, and you can stop and rehook. And keep going anytime the Lord gets done with the message. So that's what I'm going to do. That's that God helping me. Now they come bringing the sick of the palsy, and they could not come in because of the press. And they found a way to get that man to Jesus. They took the pilings or however the roof was. They just uncovered. I don't know if Jesus was in my house. And there was a man in there, they were trying to get a man in there, and there's a crowd in my house, and somebody come up and started tearing my roof off, I'd have a real problem with that. I mean, I just spent a fortune getting my metal roof re-screwed. And the wash house in the house was 6,500 screws. I don't even want to think about it. But at least one thing for sure, I'm not worried about leaks for a long time right now. The first screws were put down when Levi was a baby, and that's been 22 years ago, and it's been over there. I had a little leak, and I ain't worried about leaks. No. I ain't worried about hail storms. I'm not worried about tornadoes. If we get a tornado, me and Kathy is just going to live in a tent the rest of our life, if we survive. Now, there it is. They found a way to get this man to Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, there, let's just look at this grammatically, okay? He says they were born of four, verse 3. And they, that's the four. They again. And when they had broken it up, that's the four. We're in the sick of palsy lay. And when Jesus saw what? Their faith. He saw those four men's faith that Jesus could help that man. And I don't even know if that man knew anything about Jesus. We don't know. The mystery of getting somebody saved is a wonderful mystery. And I tell you what, we need to get involved in that, because there's somebody out there that we're going to find God helping us, that's waiting on us to get there, and we're going to have faith that God's going to save somebody. Now, you say you're out of range. I don't think so. I don't think so. The Philippian jailer, he said, what must I do to be saved? And Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And that included his siblings, his wife, his kids, his wife, and his servants. They all got saved. He believed. And some people call that household salvation. I don't mind calling it that. I baptized all my kids. I hope they're all saved. And I'll tell you what, they made professions of faith. None of them have denied the truth of the Son of God. You read 1 John, and if anybody denies the virgin birth of Christ and denies the truth of who Jesus is, they're accursed, they're not saved. But as long as they don't deny Christ, that's my hope. I don't care how they're living. I mean, I want them to live right, but you understand, I'm not going to lose hope that they're saved, and I'm praying if they're not, they will be. But none of them have denied who Jesus is. God forbid it should ever happen. You're saying you're making it too easy. It is easy. Some people's making it too hard. That's right. Now let's look at that. He saw their faith. He said in the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now, son, thy sins, I lost my place here. Okay. When he saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, listen. In one place, I believe it's in Luke, he says, man. He said, I say unto thee, man. Here he says, son. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. They brought him to be healed. Well, Jesus is talking about his sins. Hey, what if that man said, look, get me out of here, and he had the right to do that. He could have said, he's talking about me being bad and I'm needing to be healed and he didn't have no compassion on me. But he's talking about my sins. Maybe he said, look, hey, wait a minute. I come here for physical help and you're talking about sins. There's a great truth right there. There's a great truth in the fact that everybody's looking for some kind of physical relief. And the greatest relief that you can have is your sins forgiven. My. Thy sins be forgiven thee. But there was certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins, God only. These were not saved people. They were religious people. They were not saved. And they were making a big issue about Jesus forgiving sins. You cannot have a Jesus that don't forgive sins. And you can't have a forgiveness of sins without a Jesus. Without the right Jesus. Hey, there's programs going on in different religions right now, in different churches, there's programs going on just to get people in and to get them there and to get them religious, and their sins are never dealt with. You get them in with sins forgiven and you can't run them off. But if you get them in with some kind of physical trick that counters to the flesh, the first things that happen, they're not saved, they're gone. They'll say, yeah, I got baptized there, I'm okay, and they're gone. You see the difference? Lord, help us. Jesus says, why reason in your hearts? He knew what they were thinking. Verse 9, where is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk, take up thy bed and walk. And I'm going to tell you what. Which one was the greatest miracle? The sins forgiven. Which one was the greatest need? The sins forgiven. Amen. I'm going to tell you what. This man got saved there. This man got, and I'm going to skip on over here. I'm going to read their reaction. In verse number 12 at the end, it says, we never saw it on this fashion. We never seen nothing like this. Because he said to the sick of the palsy, he said, I say in verse 11 unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And you know what he did? Immediately, He took up his bed and went forth for them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this wise, on this fashion. Hey, let me tell you something. You know where he went after he got saved? He went home. He went home. He went home. You know what? He had caregivers. He had people that cared for him. And when he got home, he saw the people that had been caregivers to him, that had to wait on him hand and foot, to bathe him, to clothe him, to feed him. And he walked in. Can you imagine what mama said? Or the wife? Can you imagine the kids watching a man walking down the road up the sidewalk, and they're out playing, and they'll say, how is that? Nobody else was there. I'm just assuming everybody, those four got in and said, we're going to take you for a walk. And he walked back in, and what a difference it made in that family. No more, don't have to care for daddy anymore. Oh, don't have to worry about him providing a living anymore. Don't have to worry about him laying around. I'm talking about if it was somebody that wasn't even crippled. Don't have to worry about him anymore. We don't have to beg him to come to church anymore. Got a new daddy now. There's a song I wish I could remember, but I can remember this part of it. I'm not the same anymore. There was a man that used to come in drunk and beat his wife and slap the kids around, and he got saved. And he walked in the door, and his little son would always run and hide. Oh. And he walked in, the son started to run and hide behind the door. And the fella, the daddy just kneeled down, looked at him and said, son, you don't have to worry anymore. You got a new daddy. Oh, my. Do you realize that there's somebody out there that can become a new daddy? But there's human responsibility to get people to Jesus. And I want to say I want to assume that responsibility. And I want to say that I want to assume that responsibility on the church that I pastor, to get people to the Lord. Now, oh my. Now you see that one. You see that one. We're in Luke, and we're in Luke chapter number 4, I think it is. No, it's chapter 5. Came to pass on a certain day as he teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of law sitting by, 17, which were come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. The power of the Lord was present to heal them. That's the same story with different details. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went down upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling which with his couch. One says bed, one says couch. It don't matter. It's a place he's laying down in the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, there we are again. He said, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribe of the Pharisees began to reason, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? When Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to him, what reason ye in your hearts? Whether is it easy to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk? And let me tell you what. You know what it cost Jesus to be able to say that? Dying on the cross, suffering like no man ever has ever suffered, to be able to say, thy sins be forgiven thee. Before he ever died on the cross, in anticipation of the cross, and knowing that his sins was covered right then, and at the cross they were washed away. So, but that you may know that the Son of Man hath power upon the earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, say unto thee, rise, take up thy bed, couch, and go to thine house. Immediately he arose up before them, took up that which he lay on, departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed. They glorified God, were filled with fear, saying, We've seen some strange things today. You know, the first thing they said, we ain't never seen that on this wise. And there it is, we've seen some strange things. You realize that if somebody gets saved in a church like this today, it's a strange thing because it's not happening very often. I've talked to a lot of my preacher friends. See, you see anybody saved? They said, not much. It's been a long time. You know what? God wouldn't give us a burden for lost people if there wasn't some out there. Have you got a burden for lost people? They're out there. They're out there. I know I've been more a little bit evangelistic on this message, but that's just the way it's went. Now, let me say this. We're in chapter 9. I got to do it quick. Verse 1, and he entered into a ship and passed over and came. You know where he just came from? He just came from Gadara. The maniac at Gadara had just been a wild man and with no clothes, breaking the chains. And you know, then he got saved. Jesus went clean across the lake for one man in Gadara, which was a Gentile population. He found that man. That man came to him. He got saved. And you know what he went? He went through Decapolis, telling everything that Jesus, he told that man to go home. You know what that man did? Of course, he went home, clothed in his right mind. And then it said he went through Decapolis, telling what Jesus had done for him. And Decapolis was Deca 5, a 10-city region. He's sort of like Shiloh. He went through 10 cities evangelizing in that Gentile land, telling what Jesus had done for him. And I'm going to tell you what, if Jesus has ever done anything for you, and I believe he has, you need to tell somebody. You got a story to tell. All you got to do is say, let me tell you what. You meet a new guy, you say, let me tell you what Jesus done for me. He said, I don't want to hear it. Well, that's okay. If you give me just a minute. No, I don't want to hear it. Okay, door's closed. And he said, I want to tell you what Jesus done for me. And he says, okay, what did he do? He said, save my soul. He can forgive my sins. And he can do the same thing for you if you don't know it. I met a man in town in Franklin, North Carolina this week at an automotive shop. And I said, you're a Christian. He said, yes, I am. I said, you know, I can see it. I can see it. But that ain't good enough. We ain't got to go around just smiling at everybody and let them, and they'll just fall on their knees getting saved. We got to talk. We got to tell people. When he was come, there it is in verse 1, chapter 9, he came over in the ship, and behold, there brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying in the bed. Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes within themselves, this man blasphemes, and Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, what think ye evil in your hearts? Where is it easier to say, thy sins be forgiven? Let me tell you something. I'm going to stop right here. You know what? When somebody makes a profession of faith, you better not criticize that. When somebody comes down this altar, whatever, does the best they can to pray, whatever they do, I've heard it said, of people before, I'll give him a week, or I'll give him 3 or 4 days, or give him 2 weeks, or I'll give him a month. I'm going to tell you what you are in danger of blasphemy if you criticize somebody that's responding to the Word of God. You better leave that alone. You'll be in danger of hell fire, friends. You better try to encourage him. You say, well, he's got a problem. Have you got one? How many problems have you got? Amen. It's like that woman called me from down in Mobile. I'm getting off the path here, but that's okay. I'm taking a roundabout. I'm writing about 20 checks a month paying hospital bills off years ago. And I'm not complaining about that. I mean, my kids is worth a lot more than 20 checks a month. And I'd do it all over again. And my wife would too, wouldn't you, Kathy? We're planning on having some more grandchildren. So I'm down with my old 200 International tractor. I'm trying to work on it. I've got grease from this fingertip up to my elbows, both of them. It's hot. I'm sweating. The kids run out with that cordless phone. That was a new thing. This is woman on the other line. So you're going to have to start paying more every month. Hey. who is this? She said, yeah, you got to start paying more than $20 a month. Done had agreement with the hospitals. They said, this is it. Okay, I'm faithful. I'm doing it every month. I've sort of had enough of her trying to harass me. I said this. She's from Mobile. I said, hey, how do you pay your bills? I said, I bet you're on welfare. I bet you get food stamps. She said, we ain't talking about bills. We're talking about yours. And she hung up on me. Got rid of her. So how many problems? You say, that fella's got a problem. Well, how many problems you got? Amen? You better watch that judging. The Bible says, hey, he that judgeth will be, the same judgment will be measured out to him again. In other words, you judge, it's going to come right back in your face on you. There it is. That's right. And let's move along. And he said, thy sins be, wherefore is it easy to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise and walk. But that you may know, verse 6, that the Son of Man hath power on earth to give sins. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house. He arose, departed the house, his house. When the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. I don't think the scribes, Pharisees, and publicans, lawyers, and doctors got saved. I don't believe that. I believe they blasphemed God. That's what I believe. Now, there's something I want you to notice right here. I'm not going to have time to develop this. I'm just going to break it off, but I'm going to give you the underlying thought. Verse 2, behold, there brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of what? Good what? Cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Be of good cheer. Wow. You see this page right here? Can y'all read that? Can you read that down? You got good eyes. You couldn't read it if it was 6 inches from you because of the way I wrote it. This is definitions of the word cheer out of, not the Hebrew, not the Greek, but the English, old Webster's Dictionary. And there's more to it than that. I just wrote down what was significant for this message. Now, I don't even know if I'm going to tell you about this, but I'm going to tell you this much. Where's your cheer about getting saved? Where's your cheer? Look, why did he have to say that, be of good cheer? Because maybe he wasn't in good cheer. Maybe he is wondering, this man's talking about my sins. And I need some help to be able to walk. They told me he could do a miracle. He's wanting to just talk about what I've done wrong. This cheer. Your sins are forgiven. Now my question to you, I'm going to cut her off. We got three more messages. The first one has to do with salvation, and it has to do with our salvation. We're saved, right? Where's our cheer? I'm not even going to read all these definitions. I'm going to do that next Sunday. But this is just the most wonderful thing, how the word cheer is developed through the Bible. It's got to be happy. There's a word in some of these others. I've got another study over here on the word cheerfulness. And I'm going to give you this word anyway. I'm going to give you this word that means blissomeness. Blissomeness. In the Hebrew language, the word joy can be synonymical and translated the word cheer. I mean, that's just a etymological study of the word. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. Joy, free. And the word joy, and I'll tell you later, it means blithesomeness, and it means this, light-hearted. You ever heard anybody say, I'm heavy-hearted. You ever heard anybody say that? Have you said that? I'm heavy-hearted. Oh, me. Let's just sit down and cry together about being heavy-hearted sometimes. Okay? Heavy-hearted. You know what he said? You can be light-hearted right now. You can be light-hearted because your sins are forgiven. Look, he's sitting there unhealed with his paralysis. He said, I can't be that. See, he gets, it might have took a while. It might have took a while. I mean, you know, there was commotion there after Jesus said, thy sins forgiven. Then it might have been that the crowd had to settle down. Because those religious people say, ah, he can't do that. Who can do this but God? Well, they didn't know God was sitting right there in front of them. And it could have been a little while. And that man had not yet realized what Jesus had done for them. And I'll tell you something else. There's nowhere in the Bible that it says that man said anything. And there's nowhere in the Bible he even said he had faith. You just got to believe he had some faith eventually. But who had the faith with those four guys that brought him in? They can get him to Jesus. We can get him to Jesus, and he can just get face to face with Jesus. Everything's going to be all right. If he'll accept what I read a minute ago, your life expands by the truth you can stand. Oh, my. Roger Butler needs that. I need this message more than anybody in this church. I need to let truth. And that truth had to sink into that man. Because Jesus said, be a good cheer. Cheer up. And the question I have to you is, where is your salvation cheer? Have you got it? Let's stand. Is it in you? Are you showing it? Father, have your way. Thank you for the good word of God. Lord, I pray that you'll just meet the need of my heart and every heart here and anybody that's listening. Save the lost. And may we exemplify and shine out to this world. Lord, sometimes I'm in such a confessional state here that I don't know why anybody would want to have what I've got when I'm not showing it. And Lord, oh God, may we accept the truth about who you are and what we are. May we expand our lives today by learning truth, by accepting the truth, and just keep accepting it. Save the lost, heal and help. We come to you in this altar time, and Lord, we ask that you'll meet the need. Every heart would respond to the message in the way you'd have them respond. In Jesus' name, amen. The altar's open if you need to pray. Help me sing the chorus now. And it goes, Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Father, thank you again for allowing us to meet together. I pray that you have